Isn't it so good to be in church? Isn't it so good to be in the house of the Lord? Is anyone like, yeah, I agree. I definitely just love getting back every Sunday, just being in the house of the Lord, being in the presence of God, you know, beautiful worship and just a space to be able to meet with God like that. We don't take it for granted. Worship team, we just love you to bits. And, you know, I want you to make sure to keep everybody in your heart, praying for them. Pray for us, church. Pray for anybody here in any kind of position of making things happen. You know, whether it's looking after the kids, whether it's leading us in worship, whether it is the people at the back, whether it is the people at the door, no matter what it is, because, you know, it takes an army. It takes everybody to be able to make church happen. And I know that is probably 98% of the church that are doing all of that stuff. So we just thank you so much. But, you know, there's a lot going on. Just this past week, there's been a lot going on, And, you know, a lot of things, a lot of different things. I was like, every day there was like a few things just coming through and I'm like, oh my goodness. And, different people hearting and liking posts online. And I was going, my goodness, I think anybody that said they were praying this week on the church group chat for the different things that we're praying for, I thought, I know what those people are praying for as well. And I just thought, like, there's just seemed to be a lot of struggles and a lot of things that each person is going through. And if that's not you today and you're on the mountaintop, then we rejoice with you and we just say, you know, come on, let it last. And Lord, do keep on going and keep on working in their life. But, you know, but I will tell you that I 100% believe that we are, you know, it's the fallout of sin. It's living in a fallen world. This is life. Things happen and things come our way. But this week, then it just made us sit up a little bit more and pay attention a little bit more and say, right, oh, how is our prayer life, church? How is our prayer life? We are stepping into the unknown when it comes to buildings and work, and we are reaching this city every single day. And I really, really believe that the enemy is not happy, because I believe that breakthrough is coming in the name of Jesus. We are celebrating 11 years as a church. That means that we're going into our 12th year as a church, which is actually a really significant thing to be happening. Last year, we had our 10-year party. That meant it was the end of the 10th year as a church. And it meant that, you know, so in the Bible, numbers mean things. And the 10th year can mean like a completion, like God's like doing something. It's kind of, you know, that season is complete. And then very typically in the Bible, then the 11th year can often mean a bit of disruption. You know, disruption is happening and some things are just like being shifted and things are taking their place, because guess what happens in the 12th year? That is that God is establishing his work. So he just has to move some things and change some things. And I don't know if you maybe feel like what I feel like, but in this last year, I have definitely known the shaking of the Holy Spirit and things just happening and things being shaken up. But I believe with all my heart that as we step into year 12 as a church, that God is going to establish his work, that he is going to establish things here in this church. He's going to establish things for the future. He's going to just, you know, there's things that we're seeking God for. I mean, we've been seeking God for this building project for now, however many years it is. This will actually be 10 years for the building project. And I don't know how many since we bought this place, but it will be, it's coming into our 12th year anyway, since we planted the actual church. And I just believe that breakthrough is coming. I believe that breakthrough is coming for this church. Breakthrough is coming for your life. Breakthrough is coming for individuals. And the things that you have faced and been struggling against, I just want to prophesy in the name of Jesus that in this next year that we are stepping into, that you're going to have breakthrough and freedom in those things as God establishes things, principles, patterns, and his hand just on your life. And you're going to just step into a greater freedom. you know, I know that there's struggles that are just like ongoing, but I just believe that the Lord is just going to establish his work in this next year. And so I'm excited to have our 11th birthday, to be able to say thank you for the disruption, but thank you that it's gone. And there will always be change, and there will always be things that we're adjusting to and getting used to, but I'm excited for our 12th year as a church. Are you? I'm excited. And yes, we're ripping the roof off the place and we're ripping the walls off the place. And we've never, ever been crazier than this moment, but we are going to see God move. Okay. Today, I want to talk about, I'm laughing because Daryl gave me this, this title because he didn't think my title was very good. So do my choices really matter? Yes, they do. Okay. Thank you very much. But we're going to be talking about our choices, about our choices in life, and about how they really matter, and about how to make the right choices, even in the midst of a storm. If you are not going through anything right now and you're on the mountaintop, as I said, we rejoice with you. But put this sermon in your back pocket, because when things come your way, God wants us to know how to handle things in his name and in his strength. Come on, let's just pray. Lord, we just pray that as we open up your word today, Lord, we pray for every ear that is listening, those that are listening at home, God, those that are listening in this room, Lord, the people that will be listening in the future, Lord, to this sermon. God, we just pray that your word will speak fresh, Lord, that it is the living word of God, and that as we focus in on your word, Lord, as we lean in, Lord, it will be your voice that speaks, Lord. Lord, I'm not trying to be anybody. Lord, all I'm trying to do is be your vessel. And Lord, I just pray that you will fill my mouth, Lord, and that you will open up our ears to hear what you are saying, Holy Spirit. So just come and speak to us, Lord, at this time, we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay. Number one, getting where you want to be starts by choosing to be where you are. Is that a tongue twister? Probably. Is it a proverb? It sounds like it. But you know, here's the thing. When storms come our way, when things come our way, and when life throws us some really, really hard things, we have a choice to make. And, you know, I know there were some young people in here. They're away now. I wish they were in here to listen to this message. But they're having a great time where they are. They can listen to this later. But I remember as a young person just being so full of vision, so full of expectation. The Lord had gifted me to be able to sing, to be able to lead. I knew his hand on my life, and my vision for my life and what God was going to do through me was so, so huge that I was like, I want it all. I want it now, God. I remember just being like, I went to my dad, who was my youth pastor, and I was like, Dad, I don't understand why the leaders are able to have a leaders meeting and I'm not included in it. And he was like, because you're not a leader yet. You're 14. And I remember being like, why are they having their secret prayer meeting? I want to be where they are. And he was like, you need to go home to bed. All right. You just had youth. It's not time yet. I remember being like, you know, I want to be on the worship team every week, Dad. And he's like, no, but we'll get you on the worship team once a month if you want that. And I never understood why it felt like that he was holding me back. But actually what he was doing was he was allowing things to blossom and things to grow in my life for the day that I would step into all that God had for me. And I think that he did a good job, and he helped me to be able to steward all of that. But there was a frustration in that moment, because I had a God vision for my life, but I wanted to be there. I didn't want to be in the here and the now. And you know, I see that so much right now. As we are on our phones and we're scrolling through Instagram, my mom is in Marbella at the minute. I hope she's listening to this sermon right now and she's still attending church. But she's in Marbella at the minute, and I don't want to see the photos of Marbella on a cold April day. I don't want to see the photos, and I don't want to see what temperature it is there when it's absolutely freezing here and raining outside, although the sun's shining at the minute. But you know, there's something in me whenever I start scrolling that I want to be there. I want to be in that place. I start to despise the place that I'm in. I start to just despise the house that I live in, or I despise the family that I'm in if they're all crazy that day, or I despise this and despise that, and I start to just wish that I was somewhere else. And yet God says that, you know, we're not going to get to where he wants us to be by negating the here and the now, by wishing and escaping to somewhere else in our minds, just scrolling aimlessly, scrolling and scrolling. He's asking, will you be a person who lives in the here and the now, because it is here today, now, that he is actually doing something. We don't know what God's going to do in the future. Only he knows that. But while we are just looking to the future, to the goal, to all of that there, I want to make sure that we are making sure to live in the here and the now. We can be so fixated on where we want to be that we forget to embrace where we are. We forget about the blessings that are all around us. You see, in this world, I'm just finding that a lot of people are just neither here nor there. Not people in this church, come on. But people are neither here nor there. They're saying that this generation, that they don't know what to think about things because the truth isn't the truth, and the truth is just relative, and all of this kind of thing. And they're neither here nor there. But we need to know who we are in the Word of God. We need to know whose we are, don't we? And we need to know what he's called us to in the here and in the now. But it's not easy. You know, I'm the first person that wants to escape when things go wrong. I don't handle things well. I don't handle negativity very well. You know, if I hear something negative, I'm like, la, 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 don't want it. I want to go there. God's just saying, it's okay for you to be here. I am right here with you. And it is here in this place that you will know my presence. It's here in this place that you will know my peace. It's here in this place that you will get to know me. Life is a collection of day by day by day. I can hardly even believe that I have an almost 15-year-old. I have a child that is turning 15 this year. I know I don't look old enough. I was 15 when I had her. No, I wasn't. But I could have been. No. And I just cannot believe that I have a 15-year-old, because that time just seems to have gone like that. And I'm like, who is the mother of that 14 or that 15-year-old? You know, who's the person that's going to speak wisdom into her life? I wish I was there. And God's saying, you are here, and I'm going to give you the words to say, and I'm going to equip you right here where you are. You know, living this life day by day with eternity in mind, knowing that it's the there of eternity that we are destined for, keeping that as our focus, but living in the here and now of each day is the way that we get to where God wants us to go. Amen. Not by escaping from today and everything that it brings. God wants to be right here with us in every single moment. Here's what Romans 12 verse 1 to 2 says, and I just love this. This is in the Message version. I think it's going to be up on the screen. Yeah. Here's what it says. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life. Your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing that you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You will be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings out the best of you, develops a well-formed maturity in you. You know, we need to keep short accounts with each other, and we need to keep short accounts with God. If you're tempted to say, I'll sort out that forgiveness issue tomorrow, it's today that you need to sort it out. You see, we need to be people more and more, I believe, in this day, that are living our lives with an eternal perspective. The Bible says that God has set eternity in our hearts. Think about it. Can you ever imagine not existing? No, because he has set eternity in our hearts. You know, we're just going to go in the blink of an eye like this to heaven one day. Elmarie was just telling me in the first service about her dad, that she lost her dad this week. We knew that. But she was just telling me that it was like this. And he was in a road traffic accident. And that just in that time, as he was doing what God had called him to do, he pastored two churches over in the Philippines. And he was living for the Lord. And just in a split second, the Lord just took him home. So he goes from serving God to then all of a sudden just seeing Jesus face to face. And Paul talks in the Bible about how that's the greatest honor. That to die is to gain and to live is Christ. You know, to live this life is to die daily to our selfish ambition, to die daily to all of this world and all that sticky stuff that it just wants to stick to us and drag us down. But we want to keep our eyes focused on the eternal prize, which is standing face to face with our Savior Jesus Christ. And church, I want to tell you today, it's closer than it has ever been. It's closer than it's ever been. I don't know what your thoughts are, your personal thoughts about Jesus when he comes back and the rapture and the tribulation and everything, but all the signs are there and they are increasing in speed. And there has never been a greater time to be alive. And I hope and pray that the Lord comes back very, very soon. But you know, it's time for us to wake up and to have an eternal perspective that we are not living this life for ourselves. The Bible tells us not to store up treasure on this earth where moth and where dust can erode, but it says that we're to store up our treasure in heaven. Because we're going to go like this someday. And whether that is one by one or whether that is all together when Jesus comes back and he's going to call us home together, I don't know what it is, but it is a moment that we can be assured of that we are going to see him face to face. So let's deal with things here. You know, the devil will steal, kill, and destroy as much as he can, but we can make sure not to let bitterness and let anger, let hatred, or let offense take root in our heart towards anything. Church, we need to keep short accounts with each other, you know? Not letting that problem linger. Going to the Lord with that problem, or going to your brother or sister with that problem, going to the person and you know, but go to the Lord. And if there's anything that is going on, we need to just say, you know what, Lord, I'm going to do what these verses say, and I'm going to bring my everyday ordinary life that brings me strife, that brings me struggle, that brings me anger and frustration, that brings me offense. And I know that none of that is offensive to you, God, but I want to bring it to you each day and keep short accounts with God, keep short accounts with ourselves, keep short accounts with each other. Just in the first service, and I know that we sang it in the second service, but I was just speaking with somebody downstairs at the time. But in the first service, we sang that song, Goodbye Yesterday. It says that, and I'm dancing on the grave that I once lived in. I'm dancing on the grave that I once lived in. And I just find myself, my feet were moving a bit more. My pumps were flinging places. And I just find myself dancing before the Lord because I said, Lord, about 5 years ago, you set me free once and for all from shame that held me, from shame that even as a Christian, I was carrying in my everyday. I was picking up that shame every day and I was almost like cradling it like a little baby and saying, oh, I just want to look after this thing. And no. And the Lord said, no, you're not shame. You're not to be shameful anymore. You need to leave that where you left it, and you need to leave it once and for all, never to pick that up again. You know, shame and guilt and unforgiveness of yourself is a grave that the enemy wants to keep you locked in. But I want to ask you today, number one, have you given that to the Lord? If your answer is yes, then that means that you are shame free. Girl, guy, you are shame free because he who the Son has set free is free indeed. That's what the Word of God says. And the Word of God is never wrong. We can stand on his word today. You are shame free and guilt free the moment that you give it to the Lord. But you see, here's what happens. We pick that thing up again. And we pick it up and we say, but I still feel shameful. And Jesus is like, what? I died for that thing. You already gave me that thing. Do not pick it up. It's time to dance on the grave that we once lived in. And this is what I'm talking about keeping short accounts, even with ourselves. If you haven't forgiven yourself fully today, give it to the Lord before you go out of this place and leave it here and do not pick it up again. God has sorted it out. He has completely forgiven it. And you are free in the name of Jesus. Any other thing that you believe is a complete, utter lie from the very pit of hell. I just want to call a spade, because that's what it is. A complete, utter lie from the pit of hell. God has freedom upon freedom, grace upon grace for you today. And he is taking you, the Bible says, from glory to glory to glory. He's taking us from glory to glory. That means every day, as we make decisions to be able to follow after him and keep our eyes fixed on Jesus and keep the faith and keep doing this journey with him, not turning to the right, not turning to the left, but keeping fixed on him, then we can know that he has taken us from glory to glory until the day that we see him face to face in glory. Amen. And he's making us more into his likeness every day. So deal with things here and deal with things once and for all, and do not take it with us in the day to day. Number two, extreme trials align us with God's purpose. You know, extreme trials, and I'm not talking about just normal little trials. Normal little trials, yes, everybody has those. Extreme trials are something that maybe once or twice, hopefully only that amount of times in your life will you go through. If it's been more, God is with you. And extreme trials are something that are not new. They are not new. They are not just, you know, it's like, Lord, I've never ever been through anything like this before. Nobody's ever been through anything like this before. But 2,000 years ago, the early church were going through an extreme trial. They were going through extreme persecution. And we're going to read it together, and you can turn to it in your Bible if you want to, and then you've got it to look back to, even though the words are coming on the screen. But it's in Acts chapter 8, and we're going to sit there for just a little while. Is that the time? Oh my goodness. Okay. Hurry up, Nikki. All right. You know, the disciples, they have all met in the upper room. Jesus has gone to heaven. They've met in the upper room. They've got filled with the Spirit. It's incredible what's happening. Bible tells us that they find favor with the people around them, that they are contributing to the city that they live in, that the city that they are living in absolutely loves them, that they are selling their possessions, they're selling their houses, they're feeding the poor. They are living a good Christian life. They are doing so, so well, and they're impacting the place that they're in, and they're full of joy, and they're full of the Spirit. Does it remind you of anybody? As I'm reading that, I'm like, it's reminding me of what is going on here. You know, if I go up the town and I'm wearing a vibe lanyard and I meet somebody, they'll always have something good to say to me about this place. They'll always have a thank you or a, oh, it's great, this stuff that's happening there. And I'm like, oh, Lord, you've given us so much favor. And as I was reading the first few chapters of Acts, I'm like full of just joy. But then you get to Acts 8, and all of a sudden it's like, hang on, what happened to those people that found so much favor in the city that they were living in? They faced persecution. But you see, Jesus had said to them, he said to them that You will receive the Holy Spirit and you will be my witnesses in Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So these Christians, these early Christians that are just so comfortable living their lovely life and doing lovely things for everyone around them, even though they were sacrificing a lot, it didn't even seem like they were sacrificing because they were so full of joy and love in the Holy Spirit. But then something has to shake them up to be able to move them from the comfort zone that they are in. It says in verse 1 of Acts 8, it says Paul was one of the witnesses and he agreed completely with the killing of Stephen. So Stephen is the first martyr. He is a Christian and he's being martyred for his faith. And Saul was one of the witnesses. He agrees completely with the killing of Stephen. This is Saul who would become Paul, who ended up writing over 2/3 of the New Testament. And the turnaround that God did in his life was incredible. I want to tell you that, you know, he goes from persecuting and killing Christians to now writing the word of God. It's unbelievable the change that God makes in his life. You're never too far away for God to reach you. You're never too far gone. And he wants you to know you today. It says here that a great wave of persecution began that day, sweeping over the church in Jerusalem, and all the believers except the apostles were scattered through the regions of Judea and Samaria. Some devout men came and buried Stephen with great mourning, but Saul was going everywhere to destroy the church. He went from house to house, dragging out both men and women to throw them into prison. The Bible says a severe persecution broke out. So what ends up happening is that, you know, there a lot of these Christians are like, I'm not going to put up with this. I'm away. I'm taking my family and we're going. The Bible says that they were scattered and they went to the places that Jesus had earlier prophesied that they would go to Judea and Samaria. And we know, thanks to St. Patrick, that they ended up years later going all over the earth. And they went to the very ends of the earth. But at this time, they're in Judea and Samaria. And Paul is going about with so much hatred in his heart towards Christians. And he's got this persecution, the Bible saying, arises and breaks out towards the Christians. It was extreme. But God uses the extreme trials to take us out of our comfort zone and align us with his purposes. This is why the Bible says that we can be joyful whenever we face trials and troubles. Because he wants to set a joy inside of our hearts in those times that he's strengthening our character and he's strengthening us for the journey ahead and that we will come out the other side. The apostles, they stay in Jerusalem and the rest of the disciples, the rest of the church, the Christians, they go to these other places. And the big question is, will the church even survive? Will the gospel continue to go forth? Will people be silenced or will people get to know in these areas that Jesus is alive and he did what he said that he would do? Thank the Lord that the latter happens and the gospel does not die. And that things do not come to an end, but God breathes and God moves in a place of the people being scattered and he puts wind in their sails. And then in the next verses in chapter 8, verse 4-7, we're going to read now about Philip. Now here's the thing about Philip. And I love this. In my Bible at home, it says, Philip in Samaria. That's what it says at the start of this little paragraph. Philip in Samaria. So I look back and I check about Philip. Where was Philip before he was in Samaria? He was in Jerusalem and he had, you know, he's following Jesus. And it says that then in the early church, it says that they put Philip in charge of serving the food. He had to be in charge of distributing the food to make sure that everybody was fed. And I'm like, you know, those times when I'm going, God, use me. I want you to use me, Lord. Give me that mic. Give me that mic. You know, do you not know I can sing? Give me that guitar. I can't play the guitar. But so often we're saying, God, use me. I want to be used for your glory, God. I want to do all the great things for you, God. And Philip is like, use me. And they put him in charge of distributing food. So what do you do? Well, I'm the waiter. You know, I'm the food distributor. You know, there's no bells or whistles or glory with that one, is there? Apart from the fact that people are getting fed. That is a good thing. But now that he's been scattered to a different area than my Bible saying Philip in Samaria. And Philip, all of a sudden, he goes from being a deacon that distributes food to then we read about him preaching to crowds and baptizing people. And it's all hands on deck because these people don't have the apostles. They're back in Jerusalem. So now Philip's it and it's on him. And in verse 4, it says, but the believers who were scattered, they preached the good news about Jesus wherever they went. Philip, for example, went to the city of Samaria and told the people there about the Messiah. Crowds listened intently to Philip because they were eager to hear his message and see the miraculous signs he did. Many evil spirits were cast out, screaming as they left their victims, and many who had been paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was great joy in that city. So Philip, all of a sudden then, he's not serving food anymore, but he's preaching and proclaiming the gospel, and he's seeing people set free, and he's seeing them set free from even demons, and the Holy Spirit starts working through him. Philip is in Samaria. Now, there's people in this room, and you have been on missions, and you've been on missions like, you know, I was just thinking of people who have been on missions loads with us or once or twice, and I was thinking today of Rob Black, and I was he's not here, so, I mean, it would be better if he was here, but I was thinking there was Rob here who he works in Iceland, distributing food in Iceland, and there's the Rob Black of Armagh, of Market Hill, and a great husband and a great father. But when we took those flights and we got over to Asia, it was Rob Black in Asia. And I'm going to tell you something. He might as well have had a superhero cape on him because he just went and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit starts filling his mouth and he starts praying with people and he starts doing things that he had never done before. And Emma's going, this is incredible. This is amazing. And Emma Black in Asia is even better than the Emma Black here, although they've come back full of fire, full of the Spirit, and doing the same things here. You know, there's Davidus and Davila. I'm pretty sure that when you get to heaven, that there's going to be a whole paragraph or a whole chapter or a whole book, and the title's going to be Davidus and Davila in Latvia, because there's Davidus and Davila here at home with their kids. But then something happens whenever you get into a different area and you let go of your fear and you let go of fear of man and the things that are holding you back, and you let go of the status quo, and all of a sudden you don't have work to go to and you don't have things to do, but now you can just be free to just shine for Jesus in that area. You know, the Nikki being in Samaria is completely different to the Nikki being in Armagh. In a lot of ways, I'm very similar, but in a lot of ways, I'm different. It's when I go on mission trip that God just gets me out of my comfort zone and he says, you're going to do something that you didn't do before. I've arrived in places and they've said, okay, are you ready to lead a women's meeting now? And I'd never led a women's meeting in my life or any kind of meeting. You know, I've arrived in places and Daryl said, all right, everybody, we're going to go and reach people on the street and evangelize. And I'm like, what? And then he says, it's going to be in a shopping center. And I'm like, no, I want to go to the shops. I don't want to go and do that. And then I'm like faced with, oh, okay, right, I have to do this because this is what I'm here for. And taken out of my comfort zone to go and share about Jesus. There is nothing that freaks me out more than going up to a person cold and just saying to the person, can I tell you about Jesus? Honestly, some of you, it's your gifting. For me, I'm like, let's go get a coffee and I'll tell you my story. But to actually do that is like a huge, huge fear that every time we go on missions, I have to overcome. But the point is not to be a different person there than what we are here. But to realize that whatever that God is able to do in us there, he is able to do it back here as well. And that we're to bring some of that freedom, all of it if we can, back here. And this is why we love missions, to be able to go and go and go and come back and go and come back, because it's incredible what God does on those mission trips. And this is why iHeart Armagh is such a huge part of what we do at church every single year. I want to tell you, if you don't have that in your diary yet, you put that date in your diary. Because, you know, it shouldn't matter whether we are going on missions somewhere or whether we are going to the ends of the earth or whether we are right here. God knows that we are able to be everything that he has called us to be in the here and the now. You go, Lord, if I could just go there, I would shine for you. Lord, if I just wasn't going through this trial, I would live for you. Lord, if the kids were just better behaved. God, if I had more money in my bank. Lord, I would make better choices for you. And God's saying, but will you make those choices for him right here in the here and the now? You know, God wants us to take hold of a new thing. He wants us to live in a new day with him. His mercies are new every morning, his word says. So that means today we are different to the person that we were yesterday. You know, yesterday you might have got the bad news. Yesterday, you might have got the phone call, or you might have been shouted at in your face, or you might have had a very serious conversation with your boss that you don't really like the outcome of, or whatever it may be. Yesterday, you might have checked your bank balance and not been happy with it and not known what to do, but today is a new day. And you don't need to wear the same garments of yesterday today. God says that his mercies are new every morning. So that bitterness that we put on, or that fear that we put on, or that worry that we put on yesterday, we simply don't need to put it on today. We can choose different today. You know, the devil will try to steal, kill, and destroy everything that he can from our lives. But the one thing that he cannot steal from us is our ability to choose Christ. Why? Because when you know him as your Lord and Savior, his presence dwells within you. His word says that he will never leave us and he will never forsake us. That means that, you know, you can take me to the stake, Lord, and at that point, I will still choose Christ because you are with me in that time. You can take me through the worst season of my life, but Lord, what the enemy can't steal is he can't steal your presence from me. He can't. He can make it hard to feel God's presence. He can. He can make you feel like you're completely lost of any choices to make. But it's time that we reminded him that, no, I still have a choice to make. Today, I choose Jesus. Today, I choose his presence. Today, I choose to be here, in the here and in the now with him. Because guess what? He chooses to be in the here and the now with me. What an incredible thought. What an incredible thought. But we can't live in the new and not take hold of the old at the same time. We can't hold both at the same time. Otherwise, we're not able to fully step into the new with him. I believe that on the other side of struggle and on the other side of illness, on the other side of relationship breakdowns, on the other side of financial storms and tests and trials, there is a fresh new day that God has set aside for us to live in. And it's a day of a stronger you who knows his presence. It's a day of a person who has been through the storm and come out the other side and has proven your God faithful in the midst of it. It's a day that you will testify of his unending love, his hope that never failed, his peace that passed all understanding, and knowing his sweet, sweet presence. You know, you can know his presence collectively, but I wonder, do you know the sweet presence of the Lord? The sweet, intimate presence of the Lord. When you go through trials, you get to know the sweet presence of the Lord. And I want to invite you into that in the midst of your trial right now. You know, today I wonder, will you say, as for me and my house today, we will serve the Lord. Here's what it says in 1 Samuel 12, verse 20. It says, Samuel replied, "Don't be afraid, even though you have committed all this evil." I mean, I want to just put in here, this isn't the point of this verse, it's the next part. Don't be afraid, even though things haven't gone to plan. Don't be afraid, even though you feel that you've let God down or feel that God's let you down. Don't be afraid. Goes on to say, don't turn away from following the Lord. Instead, worship the Lord with all your heart. Don't turn away to follow worthless things that can't profit or rescue you. They are worthless. The Lord will not abandon his people because of his great name and because he has determined to make you his own people. If you want to know what choices to make and if your choice matters in the midst of a storm, this tells us. This tells us clearly what we're to do. I'm going to read it again. Don't turn away from following the Lord. Instead, worship the Lord with all your heart. Don't turn away to follow worthless things that cannot profit or rescue you. They are worthless. The Lord will not abandon his people because of his great name and because he has determined to make you his own people. God has a plan for your life. He has a plan for your family's life. He has a plan for the generations to come. And as I was looking through verses, there was verse upon verse upon verse of the blessing of God on families and generations and generations and generations. And saying that if you choose Christ and you choose life and you choose to fix your eyes on Jesus and you choose him each and every day, that that is a path that leads to life and not a path that leads to death. That that is a path that leads to hope and leads to love and leads to goodness and leads to good things, not only for you, but for your children and your children's children and your spiritual children and the people who are following you and the people who are sitting in church with you and doing church with you and doing life with you, that it is so, so important that you choose him, you choose Christ, and that you choose life. And you know, I know what it's like for things to happen. And you're stuck in this place of like, well, hang on a wee minute. I don't want to make a decision today. I just want to pretend that it's not happening. Almost going back to escaping, but I'll just sit still. Have you ever noticed that what happens whenever you stand still, say at a beach, you know, we're living in this world and the world is all moving around us. It doesn't even feel like, it feels like whenever you stand still that you're just still. But even when you're standing still, things are moving. And when you're at the beach, have you ever just kind of paddled? I don't really jump over waves because I'm scared of the cold. So, you know, have you ever just like stood and the little ripples of water are coming and they're just kind of going over your feet and you go, okay, this is as good as it gets. I'm not going any further. And you're standing there and you're trying to just sit, stand still in the one place. But what happens is that as the waves come and go and as the waves of life come and go, then you just find yourself sinking and sinking and sinking. And then it's harder to get out of that sand than what it was when you first stayed. This is why we need to be keeping on moving with God. We need to keep the course with him. We need to keep the faith with him. And we need to not stay stuck in a place of just bewilderment, questioning, mystery, not knowing the answer. But God says, will you take my hand and can I just lead you through? He never leaves us and he never forsakes us. Let's just stand together and we're going to pray. Now, here's what happens at the end of these few verses. In verse 14 of Acts 8, it says that when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that the people of Samaria had accepted God's message, they sent Peter and John there. As soon as they arrived, they prayed for these new believers to receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them, for they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John laid their hands upon these believers, and they received the Holy Spirit. Here's the good thing about coming to the second service. There's plenty of time. And I think that there's people here, and we need to lay hands on you today. And you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. If the early church and if the apostles knew that they needed the baptism of the Holy Spirit, then how much more do we in 2026 need the baptism of the Holy Spirit? If you don't know what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is, it's a power and it's the Spirit coming and filling you up and giving you a strength and a power that you would never have on your own. You're saying, okay, I believe in Jesus. I was baptized by the name of Jesus, maybe just last week at our baptism service. But I have never known the power of the Holy Spirit. I've never known that. Or I did know that at one time, but now I just know that I need more of the Spirit to be able to help me get through this storm. You see, the Bible says that it is not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. It's like you're walking this path, but something comes against you and you can face it in your own strength and be battered and be bruised and somehow just get through because you know Jesus as your Savior. Or there's this force that is able to just come and be able to propel you forward in the face of the storm. And that storm is swallowed up and you're able to overcome in the name of Jesus because there is the Spirit of God strengthening you. Church, there's a difference. And if the Bible says it, I'm sorry, but I believe it. And I don't care whether we haven't seen it in a while. I believe that it's here afresh for today to be able to fill us up. You know, you weren't made to fight this battle on your own. His word says, let the weak say that I am strong. And you'll be strong by the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, John baptized with water, but in just a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. The Bible went on. And you know what? It hasn't stopped. The Lord is still moving and he is still filling us up with his Spirit and he is still strengthening us and he is still flowing and he is still overcoming. And when we're singing the wonder working blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus is a working blood of Jesus. It works. It works. It works. It still heals today. It still sets free today. It still restores today. We are not, honestly, do you get it today? He is still moving. He is still speaking. He is still touching. And I believe that where two or three are gathered in his name, there he is in the midst. And there's a difference between standing on your own and just saying, Lord, okay, I want to receive that. I believe the Lord can meet us right where we are. But I also believe that there is power that comes where two or three are gathered and that there's power that comes in the laying on of hands. And I believed, even just getting this message ready for today, that that's what God wanted to do in the second service today, was to be able to have us pray for people today. So as we're praying, then I encourage you, come out to the front. Do not be worried. Do not be scared. Not be like, oh no, it's okay. I'll wait until the end. This is your moment. This is your time. And we would love to pray with each and every person. Let me pray for you as we go into worship. Lord, we thank you for your word, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for your encouragement to us in the middle of trials and storms. And Lord Jesus, right now, for each and every person in this place, Lord, I pray that you would empower us and fill us up to overflowing with your Spirit, Lord, to be able to stand against the enemy in the name of Jesus, that you will fill us up, Lord Jesus. Lord, that we would go out in your power and that we would go out in your strength. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would call us to greater things, to higher things, Lord, and that, Lord, we will not look on these days as days that we wish that were over, but, Lord, that we would look on these days as days where we will know you even deeper, Lord. Lord, give us the strength to be able to handle what we can't handle on our own. Lord, give us the encouragement, Lord, in our hearts to be able to know that your plans and your purposes, Lord, are working out in our lives, even in the trial that we're going through. Lord Jesus, right now, for every person that is listening at home, and Lord, just for those that are in hospital, God, those that just need to know your touch right now, Lord, Lord, we just pray your hand and your presence, Lord, on every single person right now. Lord Jesus, break every chain. We pray for breakthrough in every area and freedom in the name of Jesus. Amen.